recording of Taiwan Mobile Conference Call recorded on October 29th, Thursday at 4 p.m. Hong Kong time. Good morning and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Taiwan Mobile Conference Call on third quarter results. Our chairperson today is Mr. Harvey Chang, and we have Ms. Rosie Yu as a speaker. Mr. Chang and Ms. Yu, please be in the call, and I'll be standing by for your question and answer session. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Welcome to our this quarter's conference call. Before we start it, I would like to direct your attention to page 2 of our handout, which says information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein, nor is the information intended to be a complete statement of the company, markets, or developments referred to in this presentation. And with that out of the way, that we will begin this quarter's presentation. And you see that the basic outline is the same. And I will direct your attention to page 4, which gives you a summary of our last quarter's results. Our last quarter revenue reached 17.4 billion, which remained at a stable quarter over quarter and down 1% that on a year over year basis. Lower than expected mobile subscriber acquisition costs and the good G&A expense control resulted in better than expected third quarter EBITDA, exceeding our guidance by 1%. On the non-operating front, as network optimization was slightly ahead of our schedule, there are $470 million of asset write-off losses happened that in the third quarter this year, which exceeded our guidance by $82 million. We estimate the full year write-off loss will be around 1.7 billion NT. To sum up, our third quarter net income reached 101% of the guidance number, and the net profit for the first 9 months of the year totaled 10.37 billion or NT dollars $3.49 on EPS basis, and reaching 75% of our full year target. The next page will tell you about our divisional performances. First, let's take a look at our consumer business. In the third quarter, our consumer business recorded a sequential improvement and narrowed year-over-year decline in revenue. But mobile voice revenue weaknesses and the more company store open and the higher advertising expenses to promote new rate plans and the launch of new BlackBerry and the Android phones has a negative impact on our EBITDA. On our household business, we continue to grow our pay TV content and broadband business, and the HBG reported a healthy 2% quarter over quarter, 15% year over year increase in EBITDA. It is noteworthy that the cable broadband EBITDA margin expanded to 43.7% this quarter from 28% a year ago due to economy of scale. And then for our enterprise business, our EBG mobile revenue remained stable on a year-over-year basis, while our fixed line revenue dropped year-over-year during the third quarter. That said, the EBG still reported a year-over-year growth in EBITDA attributable to OPEX savings. Next page, we will take a look at the comparison with our peers, and you can see that Our mobile subscriber number rose 3.1% on a year-over-year basis, coming largely from 119,000 data card new subscribers. And despite a rising OPEX in last quarter as a result of more company store opening and the more spending on marketing campaigns, Taiwan Mobile still managed to surpass our closest competitor in terms of mobile EBITDA as well as EBITDA margin. The next page, has outlined the value-added services and the 3G. As you can see that Taiwan Mobile's value-added service revenue growth reached 28% last quarter, and that number is among the most promising or pronounced ones among the three operators. This is primarily aided by a 67% revenue growth in mobile internet, and last quarter the revenue from data card users also went up to 19% of total data revenue versus 7% a year ago. As far as our 3G postpaid subscriber number is concerned, our 3G postpaid subscriber number last quarter exceeded 3 million, up 59% year-over-year basis, making up 54% of our total postpaid customers, and our 3G data revenue was up 91% on a year-over-year basis. I will turn the mic over to Rosie to talk about our balance sheet and cash flow.
Yeah, on our balance sheet, our cash balance was down by 3.7 billion NT from previous quarter, which was mainly due to the dividend payment of 14 billion on July 24th. And we raised some short-term borrowings of 3.8 billion and long-term debt of 2.3 billion to fund this payout. So our net debt to EBITDA went up to 0.64 times at the end of the third quarter. And our net PP&E balance at the end of last quarter was down sequentially. The 2G's net book value was reduced to 17.9 billion at the end of third quarter. And following the closing of recently announced cable acquisition deal, we estimate our total capital surplus to reach 21.2 billion, taking into account the 8.8 billion increase in capital surplus from the transaction. That was boosted by our capital gains realized as a result of treasury share sale. And on the cash flow part, our third quarter operating cash flow rose from second quarter partially due to the fewer payments of corporate taxes this quarter. Since we had already made payments ahead of time in second quarter for some CapEx spending, our third quarter cash CapEx was lower compared to the second quarter numbers. Year to date, the cumulative CapEx reached 4.84 billion versus our full year target of 6.5 billion. In terms of financing cash activities, our total borrowings increased by 6.1 billion in this quarter to facilitate the 14 billion dividend payment. And 0.38 billion of cash inflows were from selling treasury shares to employees in the same quarter. The quarter-on-quarter rise in third quarter free cash flow was a result of some escalated operating cash inflows and lower cash capex, as mentioned earlier. Year to date, our free cash flow reached $11 billion. So let me turn this over back to Harvey for fourth quarter guidance.
For this quarter, we expect the cable-related revenue and the profits to trend up on a sequential basis and to record double-digit year-over-year growth. This is primarily caused by continuous growth in pay TV, content distribution, and the cable broadband business. Our mobile revenue this quarter is not expected to further trend up from third quarter due to seasonality, but it's estimated to be resilient compared to the level a year ago. Our operating expenses control will lead to a positive year-over-year growth in EBITDA for this quarter. As to our fixed network, the EBITDA generated by a fixed network this quarter is expected to be stable on a quarter-over-quarter basis and have a small year-over-year increase due to the expense control. Our main non-op item in fourth quarter will be asset write-off losses around 366 million NT. For the full year, we expect net profit to be around NT dollar 13.9 billion, and the EPS terms will be $4.67, which are in line with our guidance. And if you turn over to the next page, just give you a quick update and on this acquisition of Cable deal that we have filed with the Fair Trade Commission on October the 9th. That's about 3 weeks ago. And we are now in communication with them and waiting for their approval. And also, I think this year, again, that we won the A-plus award on information disclosure and transparency assessment conducted by Securities and Futures Institution. This is the fourth year, four times in a row, that we got this award, and also demonstrate that our commitment to high transparency. Our key message for this quarter is basically that we expect that we'll be able to meet the guidance for the year for our existing business, and then that we look forward to receive approvals from the regulatory body on this acquisition deal, and so that we have more platform to work on to further increase our shareholder return. And that concludes my presentation, and we'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you, sir. And we are now polling for questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for questions, please press number 1 on your telephone touchpad. Once again, it's number 1 key to register for questions. Our first questions come from Ms. Kathy Chen from Goldman Sachs Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I have three questions I'd like to start off with. Firstly, in terms of the comment about shareholder returns, could you give us an update on what the board is thinking about capital management outlook in terms of dividends to be paid from 09 earnings, given that with the Cable acquisition closing end of this year, presumably there will be a hit to the dividend returns, given that those shares won't be foregoing dividends. So there's any update on whether or not we can see some buffering as a result of that. The second question is on the Cable broadband EBITDA margins. In the prepared comments, you mentioned that the third quarter EBITDA margins have gone up to 44%. Could you share some color on how much higher this could continue to go as you gain more scale on the broadband side? And then lastly, on the regulatory side, can you give us an update on discussions with the regulators regarding the price cap as we're heading into the end of the year? Thank you.
Kathy, I'm afraid that I really don't have much to share with you on your third question. I think you will agree that we certainly would not like to see that they lower the price cap that on the cable that rates. This is very fragmented because it varies that from each operating region. And that really we don't have that much to share with you. And we certainly that we'll work on that, try to retain that what we have. On the capital management, I think we have indicated that for the year 2009, that if the deal goes through, that certainly and we will, I think, make up the difference that the cost. We will basically keep the. We will not make let this deal impact our dividend payments for the year. So you can certainly expect that without this deal, if the amount of dividend that is going to be paid out, I think that will be our commitment, I think, to the shareholders. And when we get to next year, the board get to discuss this. And whether they will be able to have more aggressive capital management activities, I think it will we need to take a further look after the deal is done, and because the consolidated balance sheet will look quite different. Since that the cable is highly leveraged, and, I don't think that we will be able to do too much until we had sort of a closer look at the situation on the cable broadband, and I tend to be conservative. I think that. We have done, our team has done an excellent job in terms of boosting up the EBITDA margin to the mid-40 EBITDA margin level. And probably there won't be too much that upside that from where we have already reached. And But if we are able to provide this service to more operating areas, then I think that's where the upside is.
Okay, thank you. Just to follow up on the dividend comment, so are you saying that you'll try to maintain the absolute dividend level from last year, or should we just assume that there's some net profit decline for the full year this year, so there'll be maximum dividend payout from that lower earnings level plus the buffer from the dividends, the treasury shares foregoing dividends?
I'm not saying that it's not a comparison with last year. It's a comparison with where we are now. So basically, there are some profit decline. So if you calculate that, you will see that the cash dividend level will not be the same as you were before. But that does not say that we are not going to pay anything higher than that. But that's up to the board. That we haven't really getting to that discussion yet. And because we need to wait until, we just want to make sure that if the deal actually went through, I think there are a lot of things to be reassessed. And so right now, I don't really have a good answer for you.
Okay, thanks. So the not letting the deal impact the dividend payment means more the treasury share buffering difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
thank you. And our next questions come from Mr. Jimmy Chong from JP Morgan Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I have two questions. Could you provide us with a view on when this change in the Taiwan company law to enable the higher payout ratios will pass the legislative yuan? I recall your IR team gave me some guidance maybe a couple of months ago. I was just wondering if there's any update to that. And if so, if you expect it to pass through in 2010, would this be the lever you use to buffer the dividend? Second question is, could there be some downside to full-year CapEx numbers? I think you previously guided 6.5 billion Taiwan for this year, and to meet that you would need to spend about 2.3, 2.4 billion in the fourth quarter, which would make it one of the highest quarterly CapEx numbers for a number of years. Is there something earmarked for a large CapEx payment in the fourth quarter, or could we possibly see, say, half a billion to a billion NT CapEx come below guidance? Thanks.
On the possible revision of Corporate Act in Taiwan, we don't know when it will be passed by the legislative yuan, but currently the bill has passed the first reading, but it's the second reading that really counts. So we are still waiting for the legislative yuan to give the approval. And on your second question, our full year CapEx guidance was 6.5 billion. And as of the end of third quarter, it's already 4.8 billion. So I'm not quite sure why you have this 2.3 billion number.
That's the amount you would need to spend in the fourth quarter to get to 6.5.
No, it should be 1.7, 6.5 minus 4.8.
Okay, maybe you restated some first or second quarter numbers that are different from what I have, so I'll double check that. Thanks.
Yeah.
Can we go to the next question, ma'am? Well, ma'am, this is operator. Can we go to the next question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Our next questions come from Mr. Gary Yu from Morgan Stanley Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for the call. I got three questions from my side. The first question is a follow-up to Kathy's question on dividends. So if I assume Taiwan Mobile achieved a full-year EPS of 4.67 for 2009 and putting a 90% paid out for dividends, is that the amount that you will be committing to, which is the 4.2 per share for dividends for the full year? The second question I have is regarding your cable acquisition. Do you expect any goodwill, and if so, what is the expected amount that you will record on the balance sheet? And the third question is for your remaining treasury shares. Do you have any near-term plan for that? Because that's still 5-6% of the total share count. Thanks.
Gary, that you are correct in your assumption in your first question. And as to the remaining treasury shares, frankly speaking, right now we are busy with the acquisition transaction. I don't think we have the energy to entertain that, and actually we also have no plans for the time being. As far as the goodwill number, I'll let Rosie give it to you.
Yeah, currently on Cabral's books, the total goodwill amount to 36 billion roughly. And because of the transaction, there will be 20 billion more. So that's the number you are asking about.
If I can follow up on the treasury shares question, for the remaining 5-6%, are you also going to forego dividends from 2010 onwards?
Oh yeah. If that they remain on book, I would think we'll continue to forego dividends.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. And our next questions come from Arthur from RBS Singapore. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have two questions. One common theme coming up in the Taiwanese market is a potential for cross-border investments between Taiwan and China. I was just wondering if Taiwan Mobile plans to participate in this, and if so, in what form? Second question I have is with regard to competition. Do you actually see this as potentially stiffening in the fourth quarter? I understand that your competitor initially had expected a more competitive environment in the third quarter, but had to scale back due to inventory problems, which has since been addressed. Do you see risk of them ramping up activities in the fourth quarter?
The competition actually has never died down, I think, in this market. But on the other hand, I also don't see that we are really going into a cutthroat competition. It might happen in some small segments, but on an overall basis, I think we will be continued intense competition among the operators, but I don't see anybody really try to jump the gun and get everybody killed. On the cross-border investment, the answer is actually we don't know. And we are not really that knowledgeable about the China market. We pay attention to it, and I personally visit China often these days, in touch with people, and we try to get some cooperation going, but whether if this will really lead us to cross-border investment, either in the major operators or in other upstream or downstream business, actually, we don't know. I guess it's maybe.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. To register for a question, please press 1. And we have a follow-up question come from Ms. Kirby Chen from Goldman Sachs Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions again. Just two follow-up questions from my side. Just to check on the fourth quarter revenue guidance, in terms of the each segment, if I'm reading the text correctly, you basically expect that the Consumer Business Group revenue will be flat quarter-on-quarter, and then for the Enterprise Business Group, you say stable quarter-on-quarter for EBITDA, but do you expect that the revenue will also be stable quarter-on-quarter? And then secondly, on the cable side, is there any update in terms of quantifying more of the synergies from the deal they expect to materialize next year?
I'll let Rosie talk about this, but before we get the transaction approved, we are not that excited about that try to quantify all those synergies that what has to come will come. That's my philosophy for the time being.
Yeah. Kathy, on your EBG revenue, would it be stable quarter over quarter? Maybe yes. But, you know, the fixed line business is still declining. So we are counting more on expense controls to keep the EBITDA in line with our guidance. And we expect to see the expense control continuing into the fourth quarter.
Okay, great. I guess so then that implies that the cable revenues you expect for fourth quarter is quite strong, right? So up something like 8% quarter on quarter?
Yeah, that's our guidance, yes.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Shirley C. from UBS Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks very much for taking my questions. My first question relates to the minutes of use. I noticed that the number of minutes has come off in the third quarter, even though our tariff per minute has increased. I was wondering if that was because of some changes in your tariffs and price packages, or you're seeing that people are actually using less their mobile phones. Secondly, you mentioned something about the fixed broadband on the cable broadband margins have improved. I was wondering if you have started breaking out the mobile broadband margins versus your mobile margins and how that has been trending. And finally, I noticed there were some recent press reports about potential to cut cable tariffs within the Taipei area. I was wondering if you have any comments on that.
I really don't know what comments we can make on the cable tariff from Taipei. Currently, we're not operating in that region. So at this point, each year, I think we always face that risk. And on the minutes of use, actually, they are, starting last year, we have noticed actually some declining on the minutes of use. But it also depends on which segment we're looking at. The most obvious declining, coming from one is the prepaid. Because I think that's the one segment I think we have a more intensifying competition among the operators. And the rest that I guess that is really, I don't see anything particularly noteworthy, and maybe Rosie can compliment that.
Shirley, the 3 minutes users, actually, the bucket plan users actually reduced their usage of 3 minutes. So that's also causing the slower than expected growth in MOU. Actually, for non-bucket plan users, their usage has come up.
And the second one.
And mobile broadband margin. We still don't have the mobile broadband EBITDA margin for you at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again. To register for a question, please press 1. Again, ladies and gentlemen, to register for a question, please press 1. Excuse me, Mr. Chen and Ms. Yu, it seems to be no further question at this point in time. Thank you.
Okay, if there are no more questions, we will adjourn this session. Thank you all for attending our conference call, and we talk to you again next quarter.
Thank you,
and bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. This concludes your conference.